The Emily faces were top tier.
Okay. I've mentioned this throughout the season that I don't know if I've ever said it on the pod, but I've definitely said it when we watch it that I think she has like nervous tics.
Yeah,
like
definitely.
She does kind of like facial expressions with her mouth and her face, but definitely on this episode, they were on maximum.
This was beyond. Because it was just, she had to have a reaction to everything.
Okay, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, and we tend to do this, and I'm sorry, but the fact that Brennan called her out on, he didn't say anger, but he said, what was his actual wording? I don't want to misquote
negativity.
It. Negativity. It proved fact. It proved, I think that was honesty, because when the experts tried to give them advice, she was like rolling her eyes. You can tell she wasn't going to accept any advice that the experts gave her, and honestly annoyed me as a viewer, because these folks are trying to help you. Mind you, this whole setup, good, bad, and the ugly, experts, cast members, it didn't end up being a good experience, but they, at the end of the day, are trying to look out for you and make sure that you have either a good relationship in your current relationship or in your future relationships. And the fact that you sort of just brushed them off was telling of probably how some conversations that were had with Brennan that we did not see.
Sure, but at the same time, I also feel like the experts deserve some crap for these matches. Like, would I trust these people after you find out who you're matched with and why you have nothing in common?
But I feel like we can't even do that because they didn't take the experiment truthfully.
Oh, yeah. I guess I can't be that hard on them.
So realistically, let's pretend there was no plan schemed up. They did their absolute best. I would imagine some of these couples would have worked out.
Do you mean a yes on decision day or actually worked out? Because that's two different things.
Yes to time. A lot more yeses to time, for sure.
Yes to friendship.
Or like you just said, they would have a higher chance of just being friends at the end of this process. Whereas where we're at now, no one is going to be friends with anyone of the opposite sex.
No, definitely enemies. At the start of the reunion, we pick up where we left off with Emily and Brennan. It is so funny to hear Emily say that she accidentally read texts on Brennan's iPad that was left out. Don't you hate when that happens, when you just grab the iPad and you scroll to the messages and you just have to read them?
A few things here. How comfortable are you with someone that you're just casually picking up their iPad and going through it?
Well, you're not comfortable and you hate this person, so you need proof to back it up.
Also, this line has been used time and time again over the history of when we had technology. Oh, I stumbled upon your text messages. Oh, I accidentally read your email. I'm like, really? You accidentally read the email? You like literally had to like go through the inbox, click the message, open the message.
It happens.
Yeah, my fingers just...
It just went there. It was just magic. I don't know. So that is how Emily found out about the potential double dates, if that's what you want to call it, as well as the fact that Brennan wants to sleep with her ex-best friend. Now, Lily gets brought up a lot on this segment, and I'm wondering if Lily was that super negative and mean friend at the beginning, because this girl was the worst friend, and I couldn't believe that Emily had her on the show as one of her bridesmaids. Super negative, not nice about even Emily's personality. Why are you friends?
I imagine the production team did not know about this storyline, or if they did, they didn't have all the details, because as you're breaking this down, I'm thinking, you know how in a lot of shows, maybe something like, not really a Jerry Springer or a Mari, but sometimes you'll get a storyline that includes a third person, and then they'll be like, well, let's bring them out and see what they have to say.
That's what I want.
And then Lily walks out and lays out the truth, because once again, the stories are completely opposite, where Emily's so convinced that Brennan wants to sleep with her friend, and Brennan's like, I've never said that, like, ever.
I feel like Lily would have allegiance to Brennan because they're already ex-friends, her and Emily. So she doesn't care about Emily now.
If this is true, Lily's a snake.
I'm saying, I mean, I think I called her out from the moment I saw this woman. Awful friend. Brennan brings up the Australian guy at the bar. Emily just says, like, he kissed me and that was that, basically. You can't just play that card.
There's a lot of ways you can view this as a lot of people are giving the guys shit for the way they acted. And then they're saying my marriage was over. But then we're also throwing it at the women and then they did something. But they're thinking, well, my marriage is over. So it's like, if both sides are thinking our marriages are over, why are we making this a big deal?
I think because she is throwing something similar at Brennan for wanting to eventually go on a double date. So it's like, okay, well, in that case, the double date didn't happen, allegedly. Okay, but you actually kissed someone.
Even the way that scene is described, it's really one-sided because all we're hearing is guy came up to Emily and he kissed her. I'm like, well, that seems a little weird. Now, men are weird. And
I mean, so can you see it?
In a club setting, booze. Yeah, I could see a dude being a weirdo and just like trying that and it goes south. But they never really spoke about, well, what were the actions before that, after that? Mm-hmm. Was it like a kiss and you pushed the guy away and said like, yo, what the hell?
I don't think so.
Or was it just like a kiss, you said thanks and like moved on? Because that's like, it's a different flow in my mind. I don't really know what you say if a guy just randomly comes up and kisses you. Like, I don't know. Do you just wink at him and give him a thumbs up or just say thanks and walk away? I don't know.
That's why we're not meant for the dating world, is because we don't know what you do. Do you wink and thumbs up someone in a club? I don't know.
Do you like immediately just start twerking on them?
Do you salute them? Like, what happens?
No. The fact that Emily did not defend herself in a way of, this was an unwanted kiss, I felt terrible, I wish it never happened. It was more like, fuck it, my marriage was over.
Yeah, definitely. Emily claims that she told the truth and told Brennan, but Brennan said he found out from Lily.
I'm telling you, Lily is a snake.
Why would you go behind your friend's back? I mean, it wasn't right, but what is the right thing to do in that situation?
Oh, here's a question, though. Question for you.
Hmm.
If you were going through the experiment and it's been 4 weeks, it's going south, and you've really separated, maybe you're sleeping in the two separate bedrooms, or maybe you moved out, would you start dating in that 1 month timeline before decision day?
No. Because I don't really like people anyway. So like, it wouldn't even be enticing to me. I would have a great solo time. I personally wouldn't date. Not only because it doesn't look great, but two, because I'm just not that into it. That's a lame answer, but no, I wouldn't.
No, I think I would be on the same page, and it kind of just, I'm not trying to knock people too much, but it does show a little bit more of your character. Even though I know it's over, but it's almost like in my mind, I am going through the process, either trying or at least holding myself up to my own values of like, yes, I know it's over, but I am technically still married. Devil's advocate could be like, well, like in some cases, like people's divorce proceedings could last forever. So why am I going to wait if it's going to take me a year to get divorced?
That's true.
It's like, okay, I understand that, but this is a special circumstance. It's not going to take that long. I would just wait the 4 weeks and then just be good.
Emily believes that they were still trying and Brennan gave her false hope in the hot tub. And I want to know, why does everyone keep referencing this hot tub and why do we have no footage of it? Again, just, we're arguing about something we don't even get to see.
Do you think it was a moment where they were all in the hot tub?
Yes, which is weird because I feel like there's just certain people that didn't like each other even at that point.
I don't know. I think they still form such a bond with, you know, there's always these micro groups that are forming bonds. So I figured they're not getting along, but they're still adults. Like, hey, do you guys want to get together for some drinks? Like, we have this hot tub here. Like, we might as well take advantage.
They need to go back to the old format where you're not near these people. You don't even meet them till the end.
This brings up a good point where the show used to be to now, and we do really have this focus on friendships. You're all going through this together. We highlight scenes of them hanging out. But that maybe, this seems like a weird, like, you separate the prisoners so they, like, don't conjure up an escape plan.
That's right. But no planning.
But yeah, it at least allowed more of an opportunity for them to make this plan. I mean, really, I guess you could do it over text message too. You don't have to be like together in the same apartment building.
I don't think you build that bond though.
That's true. And this is Married at First Sight, not Friends at First Sight.
Thank you.
I don't know. We talked about this before, and like, it's super long convo about what is the future of this show? What are they going to change? Contracts, payments. I don't know. But they need to do something so they do not have a repeat of Denver, because it was brutal.
So who do you believe as far as Emily says that they were still trying? Brennan says, no way, this was just a friendship. From what you saw, did you feel like either one of them were clear in what they were doing?
I don't think so. And I think at this point, there's been enough time where stories are being really drawn out, or they're more of. Like, we're not getting the actual story, because I'm sure conversations, rumors, outside third parties are getting in people's minds. The story's getting morphed. I just don't think we're getting facts, and it is a bummer that their stories are so wildly different.
A wild thing to say. An absolutely wild thing. Emily says that she doesn't believe that Brennan was not attracted to her.
Yeah, this does show more of Emily's personality that someone to your face has said, I just wasn't attracted to you, and then immediately goes, I don't believe that. It's like, okay, well, I don't know if I'm supposed to convince you that I wasn't attracted to you. And then they brought up something interesting about makeout sessions, and even something like that is completely different. Emily says they made out multiple times. Then Brennan says, we made out one time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, how is this story so different? It doesn't make sense.
Everyone's trying to cover themselves.
Like, I know we're not tallying up like makeout sessions, but I think you would know if it's more than one time.
It really goes south in this part of the episode where Emily has a face, a reaction to every little thing. She can't let Brennan talk. She's speaking over him. She talks about, I'm an 8.5, you're a 6. Like, we don't need any of this. Like, now we're getting down to putting down looks. Like, what's the point? This is your ex-husband. Move on. The best revenge is living well. I agree that if you feel for your peace, you need to say your truth. This isn't doing that. We find out that Emily is not dating, but she is in therapy. But Brennan is in a very happy relationship. She says that she's going to find the girl and warn her. And I was like, little stalkery. Let's not find Brennan and his new girlfriend.
Something interesting here. Brennan says, well, he said he's in a loving relationship, right?
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't been that much time. So I'm thinking, does Brennan, is he like falls in love easily type of person? That's not the feeling we got with Emily. But again, maybe he wasn't attracted, and that's one of his like initial things to really go deep into a relationship is to find the person attractive.
Yeah.
But then the other part of me is saying, it is kind of like a revenge game if you describe your current relationship as incredible, amazing, we communicate so well, and your ex is in front of you.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Everyone's trying to play chess, but everyone's playing other games in the background. Checkers, who knows? At one point, Emily says, America's gonna believe me. And I was like, nah, girl. Nah. Backstage after this segment, Brennan is sick. I couldn't tell if he was hungover or just has the flu, but he peaced out. I do love the shade. Every single commercial break this episode, they showed the women talking each other up and saying positive affirmations and how hot they were. I was like, wow, this is a lot.
This is something I was torn on, because either on break, the men just are hanging out on their phones and they don't communicate, which is totally fine. But it did help them paint the picture that the ladies are coming as like a group. They have this joint effort to send a specific message, whether it's in the dresses, whether it's in their storylines or the stories they're telling us. And I think, I'm sure from production, it wasn't their like that purpose, but they're really just trying to show us like, well, this is the difference of like what they do on break.
You have so much more hope in production than I do. I think this was a perfectly curated storyline that they said, you know, we are going to enter these things. We're going to purposely omit the men's. I think we were here to, just because of how obnoxious the women were being, I think they were like, okay, well, let's really highlight then.
If that's true, See, I don't like to think of it that way because it is a bummer. I mean, it is, it's television. Like, we shouldn't give a shit. But I feel like if I allow that to be the truth in my mind, then production is steering the story in a way that's really making the women look bad versus telling the honest story of like what is going on this set.
But they are not making up these clips. These are all actual reactions. So I don't think they are making them look bad. I think they are not playing the game correctly. They are giving them to way too much ammo. Man, did everyone end up looking decent during the show because they had this really dumb plan? And if everyone was truthful, they would look like crap. Because at the reunion, everyone looks like crap.
I think if they were more honest during the show, it would have at least allowed them to get proper help from the experts. Or like we mentioned before, it would have just allowed these relationships to end much earlier. Which then again, maybe if you ended it earlier, you wouldn't go down this rabbit hole of you're lying. No, you're lying. And then this story, you hit up my friend and you kiss this guy in the bar. I'm like, well, if you legitimately ended their relationship, it wouldn't even be a thing. You said, yes, I'd like to get a divorce after 4 weeks. Emily kisses a guy in week five. Who cares? Their relationship's over. They've been divorced. See, if they have ended these relationships earlier, so many of these storylines wouldn't be a thing anymore. Cameron and Claire, same thing. Maybe we ended at the 4 week mark, say, yes, we want to get a divorce. Cameron's going through some health issues. And that's it. Like, there's not this continuing thing of like, oh, you like led me on, you gave me hope. Like, no, we didn't give you hope. Like, we divorced at 4 weeks. It would have stopped so many of these issues we're seeing now.
Well, I mean, in their case, they did stop it. And Claire said, I'm still here.
I need some more evidence because it's so clear that relationships are over. And maybe, I don't know their contracts, but I would imagine like if you could at least get to like the 4 week mark, maybe you don't owe any fine and they just won't pay you for the second month. Because we have seen where people really try to like stay in this process considering it's clearly over from both sides.
I think you get a little perk for getting to decision day and then saying yes on decision day, personally, because that's the only way I can explain some of these couples. Back to the reunion. Then we have Kevin hanging out with the guys. Brennan says, you can want to be in a successful marriage, but not want to be with that person. You don't go through this process with ill intentions. I agree. And I would hope that no one has ill intentions. Brennan continues, I felt like this was a free matchmaking, not a reality show where my entire life would be disclosed. And that's why would you assume that it wouldn't be disclosed? It's reality TV. It's a national show. Yeah, people are going to look into you.
Yeah, I can't imagine anyone going to this show doesn't at least look at the latest season, even if it's the first couple episodes. And you'd realize that they are following you in this process.
Cameron brings up his heart flutter. This is where he insinuates it's Claire's fault. While in the episode, he was just like, oh, it's for sure not your fault. But the blame has shifted. Talks about stress. Talks about his broken heart is the flutter. And if you remember back in the earlier episodes, he talks about how his dad had a heart issue due to his broken heart when him and his mother got divorced. I'm just curious about, were they around the same-ish age?
Oh, genetics, great question.
Of these things potentially play a role more so than the women in their lives.
Okay, here's the thing. Do you think Cameron was deeply in like with Claire?
Yes.
By the fourth week?
I'm probably being manipulated, but sure, yes. Much more than she was him.
This is very interesting because everyone paints, well, most people paint that Cameron was the ringleader of this whole process.
Which I can see.
I can see that. Now, yeah, maybe on initial thought, you'd go more the direction of, well, if this person is a ringleader, maybe they're not emotionally invested in their partner. So how could they really form a bond if they're sort of always covering their tracks? But the way he words that it was due to a broken heart. Now, again, his story did change. But again, as you're going through the show, maybe you're trying to protect this person. Like, you don't want to throw them under the bus, so you don't say it's your fault on TV. But now that you're having to defend yourself, maybe we're getting the truth, maybe not. But the
it's
fact
not that, her fault.
No, no. Yeah, it's not.
It's not.
I don't
I think promise you, anyone with a heart flutter, it is not your wife's fault.
True. And I don't think that either. I don't know, because someone you don't care about, like, are they really going to give you that much stress? Like, you wouldn't pay them any mind. You would just, like, whatever, you know, I'm moving on. I think it kind of shows he did have some type of strong feelings for Claire.
I just think this was a genetic thing, and it just happened to be the timing. And sure, the stress of the plan, not Claire, solely the plan falling apart, maybe caused stress, but I do not buy for a second it was just Claire.
So you're thinking more the
show,
the ringleader. He has his master plan. It's falling through. It's not going according to plan. Yeah. It's getting a little more stressful. Got it.
We saw from the preview that he breaks out his tracing to prove that he was shocked back to life, is what he insinuated, but that's not what that is. This is an ECG tracing of something called a cardiovert, which is where a pad is placed on your chest and on your kind of rib cage area, and where you are shocked back into rhythm. You are not shocked back to life.
Why are you so smart?
I just happen to be around it a lot. He was insinuating a lot here, but that's not what it is.
But it's still dangerous. Like if you don't correct it, you could go into shock.
Well, no, you'll just have, I mean, you feel like crap when your heart is not beating correctly. So like you are sick, like you don't feel well. Considered a non-invasive procedure, but you do feel like crap from it. I mean, you're being shocked, your whole body kind of like, kind of how you see in the movies when someone's shocked. And you're really sore and uncomfortable after it. You kind of got to wake up from the medication. Like, it's just a whole thing and it's really crappy, but it's not like you were on the verge of not being here anymore.
Yeah, something interesting. Like, I've had my fair share of surgeries, mostly knee surgeries. Yeah, when something external is done to your body, whether it's, you know, they're cutting into it or, you know, dealing with bones or ligaments, your body reacts in such interesting ways, whether it's muscle loss, fever, chills, lack of energy, because it's literally just doing all it can to like start rebuilding everything that was either, you know, corrected or there's holes being made. So bones, like, so I can imagine you're kind of like attacking the heart. The heart's just a muscle. Like, I'm sure some weird stuff happens in the healing process of that.
It's just not a fun thing. So like, yeah, it is a big part of life, especially at his age, to have to go through this. But I'm like, sir, you weren't brought back from a flat line.
Something I do wonder, and if you know some more detailed info on this, let me know. But because this happened to him at such a young age, like, what does that do to his future of his life as far as checkups and like how often? Like, is that something where you have to always mention it and like, hey, you should probably look at this?
I mean, he'll be followed forever, probably. And then, like, down the line, do you need a pacemaker? I have no idea what the long-term outcome is of having a flutter. There wasn't a whole lot in the guys section. We get Michael talking about how Chloe was a breath of fresh air and does confirm that the wedding day where he was left at the altar was not staged.
Did you get that from people in the community that they thought it was staged?
Oh, yeah. Everyone was like, this was so... that morning she maybe said she wasn't going to come. They knew if they had a production person get in the dress and just pretend to tell him that she can't do this. That's why you never saw her face. Leon is mouth agape right now. Did you never hear that?
No, but I would imagine if someone's not going through with it, they probably talked to production and was like, don't show my face at all.
Oh no, she's getting like sued.
Oh,
that's the other theory. Like, you signed all the releases and then you didn't go through with it. We're cutting you out of the show. And that's why some things are cut really weird. Or like, you can see her at the bachelorette party, like a side of her, but not.
Wait,
you know,
is she actually being sued?
That's the theory. I have not seen like any. Well, no one knows her name. So like, it's not like true. We can look at court documents.
True, true.
But that's the theory of why she's cut out of like literally everything.
I mean, if things go public, you'd basically look at anything Lifetime versus whoever.
Yeah. Then, per usual, we're going to hear sound clips of the ladies. Lauren says that these guys are people we would never take a second look at. And I was like, we're doing a lot, girls. We're doing a lot.
Okay, I get it. We're in attack mode, but I mean, come on, we do have you on screen saying, oh, I think it was a perfect match. You actually did a great job. Like, come on now. Don't walk it back now that you guys are all angry.
I felt it when Cam was just like so frustrated that he couldn't take any more medication because like I'm a migraine girly. And when you hit that max, you're just miserable. So he has to leave. He's having heart flutters. He can't take any more medication. He says he barely survived that. How will I survive the next? Like, meaning when everyone's together in the next segment. So he dips out. So we're down two people now. Another classic line from Emily. I need to stop being negative. Brennan can suck a D. We are hot. We're way out of their league. Girl, we are too old. We are too old.
I realize this is probably, what, 2 days of filming?
It got really confusing because then Austin came back with like no facial hair, but kind of. So it was like, was this another weekend? Why do you have a 5 o'clock shadow a day later? I don't know. But sure.
I would imagine they fly them out and then they record for like 2 days.
Yeah.
It is tough to watch because we've both voiced this before. It's like, man, something really deep must have happened because I would not put this level of effort towards either, you know, bringing someone down or accusing them of whatever. And it'd just be way too much effort.
I would like to think that I would go the Chloe route and be like, I never want this again. It wasn't good. And I'm doing great. I'd like to think. Who knows? But maybe. The whole group then is joined on stage with Kevin. This section starts out okay. There was hope. There were almost apologies happening. Specifically from Brennan. At the end of his little moment, Emily says, I appreciate you, but I don't believe you and you're not genuine. Brennan says, this is the toxic energy you bring.
This is the moment where I'm sorry to say I was shifting more towards the Brennan side heavy.
I know. Same. Well, for me, it was even earlier. It was the previous segment.
It's because so much of what he's called out against Emily, I mean, we are watching it on the episode and it's looking really bad because of the way he mentions, like, you have bad energy and we are seeing the bad energy. He mentions to you, this is considered yelling, and she doesn't counter that to say, no, I don't.
Like, I have sympathy towards that, and you know that.
And it's almost, yes, it's a strong conversation. We're talking about serious topics, but nobody's yelling. Nobody's yelling in these moments.
Yeah.
And it's honestly, Brennan, besides maybe Michael, might have been the most cool, calm, collected on the reunion.
Well, him and Chloe were the only ones like not involved in the scheming.
For sure. And there was one more point. So yeah, he mentions that you have toxic energy. You think this is yelling. And then back to the, like, I have a truth and you just want to accept it. It's just really not showing well for Emily.
Yeah. They kind of start talking over each other again. It starts snowballing. And then Claire out of nowhere, because you always got to just say something. She says, I know the truth. He knows the truth. And that's what matters. Pointing to like the guys. This took the dumbest turn. Like, this is just making Emily look so bad. Emily turns to Kevin and says, why don't we believe Claire? Claire ain't talking about nothing. Stop. Kevin says, who? Emily says, like you. There's no grace shown to her. She's been disrespected and dismissed. Does that translate for you? Oh my God. And then I went to commercial break and I was like, he better set her straight.
Now, if up to this point you were still on the Emily train, I have a feeling this was the moment where everyone got off. Again, it's a bummer to me that we're speaking negatively about Emily, but that is what we saw on the episode. That is what is happening. So we have to reflect on that. Now, I like Kevin.
Yeah.
I think he's a great host. I think he has a great way of, you know, making, well, I think to some extent, because he doesn't have full control of things. So like sometimes he may ask a question for the group and this could be editing, but like one person answers and then we move on, which I'm like, wait a minute, this was a group question, but only one person answered. That's kind of weird. But overall, I think he's a great host and he is fair to people. And the fact that Emily is like replaying something in her mind about a clear storyline, and then she's attacking Kevin as far as like, you're not on our side, or, you know, maybe you're on the men's side and you don't believe us.
You're a man.
this is the moments where the show, even though we think this might be the worst season ever.
Yeah.
This moment. Wow. We could not wait for to come back from commercial break. Now, you think Kevin went a little easy.
Yeah. Way too easy. I understand, like, he did it probably how you should do it and be professional. I would not. Kevin says, hold on, stop. You yelling at me doesn't change anything. You disrespected the show, the people that work on this show. Everyone was a part of the deception. I believe you, but I also believe everyone went along with this script. It's unfortunate we couldn't pause and say this is crazy and wrong.
Now, in the very beginning, I could feel Kevin was going in, but he started to turn it into a more professional route.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When he's saying, you disrespected this show, you disrespected the people that work on this show.
Yep.
Man, that is the trajectory where he could have gone off the deep end and just went in.
He reeled it back in.
And I don't know if the earpiece was like, walk it back, Kevin, walk it back. Let's be professional about it now. And he went the professional route of like, you know, it's a bummer this didn't work out from like what you guys planned, the storyline you went through, the script you followed. And I also, as a fan watching this, I really didn't appreciate a cast member going in on Kevin, because I do think he's there to just find out details, find out their story, whether it's the truth or not the truth. But like, mm-hmm. This is your time to speak. And I think he has, as much as he can, giving everyone a chance to speak.
Do you remember, I think it was last year during the NBA season, the camera showed Kevin at one point, like in the crowd, and we were like, it's Kevin. It was like seeing a friend, but we don't know this man. It was great. It was worlds colliding.
Yeah, Kevin, if somehow, some way you're listening to this right now, we are fans. We appreciate you. We think it's not fair someone try to go at you, but we did appreciate your comeback.
Brennan talks about the hurdles that they encountered early on and how he couldn't get over it. He talks about how her friends talked about how she liked one night stands, how she's selfish, all of these things that he essentially couldn't get out of his mind. He also talks about how he didn't like that she didn't know where her money went. She's like, doesn't manage it well, whatever he was trying to insinuate. Emily says, I make more than you. And I was like, ah, oh, that's not the rebuttal you think it is. Also, crap friends. Awful friends.
I'm just imagining, why would your friends, they're supposed to have your back, why would they talk about what they perceive as your worst qualities to your, not like boyfriend, like your husband.
Yikes. Awful friends.
I feel like not only what happened with Lizzie, is that her name?
Lily.
Excuse me, Lily. Apologies. Not only what happened with Lily, but even the way these friends described you, you may need to reflect or question the people you have around you.
Yeah, big time. We cut to a montage of moments of laughter and fun, and I didn't watch any of it because it was so randomly placed. Like, you know how we talk about they can never go off script? This is one of those moments.
Right back to, are you ready to make a decision?
Dr. I know you Pepper. Hate each other.
Dr. Pepper, do we not just go through 10 minutes of how they hate each other? Why are we having a decision? Going back to this end, why are we... No, okay. I get it. You're trying to end it on a funny, positive note, but these people... I hate saying hate. It's such a strong word. These people dislike each other. What is the point of this? This one little snippet is not going to heal 2 months of shit they've gone through.
Also, this wasn't even the end of the show. Then we move on to Lauren and Orion. So it was like more tension. We didn't end it on that fun note. So since the split, Lauren has been doing really well, traveling a lot and seeing her family. Orion is doing very well. He's happy and getting back to normal life. The first topic we cover with them is the flashback to the infamous dinner where sex was taken off the table. I am very surprised that throughout their entire segment, we never talked about the first fight, the racial slur, if you will. So they don't cover it at all. I feel like that was the beginning of the end for them. And then, like, definitely this conversation was the cherry on top. I didn't really understand Orion's argument here. I still don't, seeing it again all these months later. There's just no reason for him to have such a strong reaction to her having sex before she was even selected.
If I remember correctly, it was 2 months before the show even started.
Yeah.
I think that is way more than enough time to give someone grace.
He was just fishing for a reason at that point, I feel like.
I also didn't catch that on the first watch that they didn't go over their first argument or first issue. We don't get a reason why. I do wonder, it doesn't seem like anything is off the table as far as the folks participating and what they talk about. I do wonder if it was just too much of a sensitive topic to go over for this session.
Maybe, but it was a huge part of their trajectory, so I feel like it should have been touched upon. They don't have to replay it. We don't need it. The word doesn't matter. What matters is something was said, Orion was offended, and then what happened after. So, I mean, they could have. I wish they did cover it in a higher level sense. Orion admits after they talk about it for a little bit how messed up his reaction was to the conversation at dinner. Said, the way I said it, I fucked up in that conversation. I shouldn't have judged you. And I just shouldn't have done any of that. Says, you were feeling very ganged up on that evening and I'm sorry. And I can't tell during this entire section if Lauren is just so pissed or so sad.
I think it's a mixture of those. I think she's also disappointed that this didn't work out. I do believe Lauren was probably on the top tier of folks that came in with good intentions. I think she definitely came in looking for the love of her life or her, you know, forever partner, and it didn't really work out. And I think it also impacted her even more, the fact that Orion has done these, or excuse me, he has had these moments where it's almost like he tries to rekindle the relationship, or at least he mentions that he is open for a friendship, possibly a relationship.
We're not even humoring that. By we, I mean me.
No, I just think Lauren is really annoyed by the entire state of things.
Lauren says she's sad about the partner that she was matched with, that he was not ready for marriage. She says it's not a jab at him. No one knows until they try, but I was ready. She says she doesn't care if they have a friendship and they never talk at all. She says, I wish nothing more for him than what he deserves.
It does seem that Lauren is ready to move on. She doesn't need an apology. She's already said her truth, said her piece. And I'm happy for her. I hope she can move on. I do feel like she does come with a bit of disappointment, a little bit of anger like the other ladies towards this whole experience. And I think that is a bummer. But I do hope that she can move on and obviously find a lasting relationship that is fulfilling to her life.
Lauren doesn't explicitly say she's dating, but she says she's very happy, healthy, and loving the place that she's in. Orion says that he is dating and has been for a couple months. So they're moving on. Hopefully it's just done. They don't even need a friendship. In the backstage cutscene, we hear one of the women say, I'm not Build-A-Bear. I'm not going to build a man. This is above my pay grade. And commercial break. There's so many great edits.
I believe the men must have said some snarky comments. I can't imagine they got only audio from the ladies and really made them look not so good.
So do you believe that? So compared to what you said earlier, do you think that it is just editing? Is it purposeful?
I think the only thing we got from the men's side was that they were critiquing that they all came in color matching outfits and that they're, you know, getting their story together. it's hard for me to imagine that was it. But honestly, in some portions, Brennan and Cameron aren't even there. So realistically, there's probably not even much to capture.
Then the girls join the stage with the experts. Dr. Pepper says it's distressing to see how angry people are. She says, I have very little real information, and she's hoping that everyone can move forward. For a second, it seems like there was some accountability, or that there was going to be. Becca apologized and said she didn't get to know them in kind of any authentic way. But then it quickly spirals when we then talk to other people. Claire's talking about how it was fight or flight. And when Dr. Pia asks, who made you feel unsafe? Becca says, the men. They were high anxiety and made us feel like we should also be anxious. Dr. Pia asks, what could we do differently? Becca's response didn't perfectly match the question, so I'm wondering if this was kind of editing magic, but she says, in hindsight, expecting us to know that. How do we speak up? But like, everyone's an adult, right? And the experts are there for you. I mean, I don't think they really are, but in your sessions with them, at least, like, who does it benefit by not being honest? Not the relationship, because you already hate that person at that point.
We have seen moments where even when folks are not into their partner or their relationship has fizzled out, they still go out of their way to protect that person.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And I feel like we've got that when we did see these moments with the experts where folks weren't completely honest, or at least didn't allow the experts to get the full truth so they could help. But I wonder if when everyone is going down this storyline, this pact of, hey, we're going to control the storyline, not production, I do wonder if when you're being, not questioned, but when you have a sit down with an expert, I do wonder if the mentality, even though you're not, like, your relationship is not working, I do wonder if mentally you're still thinking of, you know, it's us versus them. So it's us versus production. Experts are a part of production. So I'm not going to be open with them.
Then you don't get to sit here on the couch at the end and say, how was I supposed to know that? Pick your lane is all I'm saying.
There was one moment where Pastor Cal mentions that he wished anyone would let him know, because I like the way he worded it. He said, I would have handled it.
Yeah.
And I said, you did not feel comfortable opening up to us. He's like, I wish you had told us that so then I could essentially talk to whoever's responsible.
Yeah. And he did say in the end, when they said the men were the ringleaders, specifically Cam, and they kind of opened up a little bit more, Pastor Cal said that he is going to handle it. So, but then when we get to the men's portion, it goes a little south as well. Dr. Pepper and Pastor Cal kind of talk about how to move on from this and how they should move on from this. Emily says, you don't have to tell us, we know. Using this opportunity to grow and be better. We take accountability when we watch the show and reflect. Claire says, every moment in our lives is an opportunity to grow. But I'm seeing no growth. I'm seeing the opposite, actually.
I guess in this moment, everyone had a chance to be accountable for their actions. And I think if I'm reading this right, on the lady side, you felt like they didn't do that.
No, I don't feel like they did.
And please stop me if I'm getting ahead of myself, but in this moment, Brennan talks directly to Dr. Pia. And again, I always want to give people the benefit of the doubt. And, you know, people think about their past, their actions, what they did wrong all the time. And I don't think it's like some, you know, made up plan to go on the reunion or tell alls and sort of correct yourself. But I think Brennan really realized that in that moment, in that sit down with Emily himself and Dr. Pia, he was super controlling, and he apologizes directly to Dr. Pia. I can't recall if he apologized to Emily in that moment.
No, he did earlier.
But again, it was in some way taking some kind of accountability, which I did not see from the ladies in pink.
So you believe that is a real, authentic apology?
I do, because I would imagine anyone watching that scene, it looked really bad. Really bad.
I hope he learned from it, but man, him and those arguments with Dr. Pia, is his true self. I'm sorry. I'm like, that is who he is. Hopefully watching it back, this is a real apology and he'll never act like that again. But man, I don't know. I think coming into this, he played his cards so well. He knew that he needed to apologize. He knew he needed to stay calm because look exactly what the opposite made these women look.
That is fair. And I hope he's done that reflection to know, like, wow, that is me. Like, I had total control over this and look what it amounted to. Like, I need to apologize. So I still appreciate that. I know people are Brennan haters, but I did appreciate this apology from him.
I want to believe it, but I'm just saying it's all a game. I don't know. Was he just playing the pieces really well? Regardless, he did play them well. Austin and Cam return, and Austin, like I talked about earlier, shaved, and I was very confused.
I honestly did not even notice.
He's always in some level of shaving, not shaving, it's grown out. Like, on the wedding day, I still cannot believe this man did not get a haircut. Still upset about it. Dr. Pepper confronts Cam specifically and asks him, how did you think of this? Meaning the big plan. Cam says, convince them? Who did I convince? She says, I heard the idea came from the men and that you scripted what to follow. Cam says, these are all provable lies. I didn't talk to these men about what they should do in their marriages. The role I played because of my desire to play into what the optics were needed. The side throwing all of these accusations are the ones showing up, matching, and it's convenient. I understand your grievance and I'm ashamed. And then he starts to tear up. He says, it makes me feel like I've learned nothing in life. He goes quiet for a bit and says, I blacked out there. I was trying to apologize. I lied to your face, Dr. Pepper, and I'm sorry if I lied to you as well, meaning the other experts.
Correct me here. Did Cameron mention that he was a bully when he was younger?
Was he a bully?
I vaguely remember that, and then someone can correct me if I'm totally wrong, but I do wonder if he's seeing a repetition of things he did in his younger self.
Well, he went to therapy because of his parents' divorce. I don't know about bullying.
I just wonder if he's seeing a pattern of something he did when he was younger. It's almost, that's why he's reflecting on, like, I can't believe, like, it seems like I haven't learned anything of my, you know, entire life's journey of things I've wanted to correct. Mm-hmm. But it feels like I'm here repeating the same things.
I don't know. I always take it with a grain of salt. Again, the cards, the game, sure. Is this what you know you have to do? I mean, it doesn't really matter in the end regardless, but it is good to hear him say that he apologizes. But also, does that mean, is that enough accountability to say, okay, Cam did do this whole thing? Is that what we're taking away?
I am sure something to the way they described happened. I don't know if we have the complete story. Maybe that, you know, they did have some kind of get together of like, hey, we should protect ourselves. You know, production, they're going to, you know, make up some storylines, but we should have the control to, you know, say our truth, maybe say what we want to say, not say what things are uncomfortable to you, and just keep that between you and your partner. I'm sure maybe something like that happened. I just don't know to what extent the way everyone is defining it. Cameron's this huge ringleader, but then Cameron mentions, you know, I'm not going to each guy and telling them exactly what to say. Like, okay, sure, that could be true. But yes, you also still bring up the conversation. Let's make a pact. That could be complete truth as well.
At the end of the segment, the experts basically say, like, wow, we're more confused. Both sides are just telling us different stories, and who are we supposed to believe? And that's exactly how I felt at home.
From the extra's point of view, yeah, they must have just felt completely lied to, in a way disappointed on the cast. You know, even if we have the opinion, and especially Ellie, the opinion of like these extras are like really aren't helping them as much as they should. Still, the resources put on by the show to get to this point is substantial, and it is a bummer that they did not take it seriously and from an honest starting point.
And the final get together, everyone on the stage together. In my notes, I don't specifically know what happened, but I just wrote, it's so annoying already. And then immediately the women start calling the men liars. We kind of get back to the double date situation with Cam and Brennan. And they show the Claire and Emily flashback where Claire is telling Emily everything in the apartment. Kevin asks for the men's side of the story. Cam says, Brennan and I were over at Union Station, which I'm guessing is a local bar. Emily starts immediately crying out of nowhere for no reason. Cam's literally just started speaking. She starts bawling and says, this is so fucking embarrassing. And then Claire begins to cry. And well, no. She kind of pulls a Robin Brown at this point. She begins to dab her eyes. It eventually turns into a couple real tears, but whatever.
There must be a lot of moments being replayed in their minds. And those moments are probably magnified when you're actually sitting next to this person who, in your mind, caused all of these issues. Which I'm guessing that's what leads Emily to essentially just storm off the scene or the couch and just, you know, head to the back.
Brennan asks what he's lying about, and Claire says Brennan was fucking other people. I don't think she knows this man that well.
See, those statements, they're so direct and with your full chest. It's like
full chest.
How? Okay, you got some texts from like a friend, but again, we're doing this hop by hop. The story is changing. It goes from a double date to he's fucking people. It's like, whoa, wait a minute, take a step back here.
Also, you're not married to this man. You're hearing this through other people. This isn't even your relationship. Claire then says, it doesn't matter, you fucked people or you said you wanted to fuck other people. I'm like, that really matters. Actually, that's a big difference.
It's a very big detail.
Cam turns to Claire and says, you admitted the rumor was false. Claire says, it doesn't matter. Like, ugh, you guys are not looking good. Like
Claire Bear, it does matter.
Claire Bear, lies matter.
You are magnifying these rumors to such an extent and so far away from the truth, just from what we're seeing on the episode, that it really does make someone think, I can't trust what you're saying on this show.
Yeah. And then Cameron was making a confused face, and Lauren says, that shit don't fly with me, poke the bear and I'll bite back. And so him and her had a really random little back and forth for like 2 seconds.
You know what's wild? When I was watching this, they've probably communicated so little. It was strange seeing them have such a strong moment there.
That's what it was, wasn't it? Like, we've never seen them talk, and then there was a heated moment. Austin tries to go back to the story and is like, so Union Station. Emily and Claire start bawling again. Like, what are we doing?
It's getting to the point where we can't even get through the story.
No, we're at Union Station still for the last 20 minutes.
And they're breaking down to a point where it's like anything Brennan says is just immediately not the truth. Like, we can't even get the story so we can at least break it down or say, well, part of this is not the truth. And honestly, the way they describe it, it just seems like a pretty factual story.
The tears and the reactions are so exaggerated, it's comical. He says he went to Union Station, and then it's like, bah! I was like, oh gosh. So again, Austin tries to get back to the story. Emily and Claire burst out in tears. Emily is done, cries and walks off the stage. And I was like, okay, all right, that was not needed. Oh, I didn't know who asked this, but I believe it was Cam. He asked Claire, did you announce a separation at the 1 month anniversary? And she says, stop. And I'm like, that is what happened. That's the video we just saw. It was announced by you. What are you talking about? You act like that didn't happen. Now, this is where it gets really interesting, because Lauren, she's there. She's in pink. She's one of the group. She says, let them get 10 words out to her girls. And I was like, that's right. You're tired of it. I couldn't believe that this is who Lauren was aligning herself with. So to see her be like, it's a little much now, I was like, thank you.
I can't even tell what the game plan was here. Like, did you plan to have these freakouts so they couldn't recall this story?
That's how I took it. It was too coordinated. Cam eventually tells the story. Him and Brennan went out. There were two girls at the bar, said, when my marriage is over, we could actually approach these two. And that was kind of the end of it.
Here's the interesting part, though. How did it go from that to other folks knowing about that moment?
I think Claire is the main factor here. Brennan isn't coming home and telling like Emily about this joke. It was definitely Cam telling Claire. And then Claire said, oh, you are double dating. Okay.
Yeah, I just wonder how that information gets passed along to Claire.
I think Cam just likes to be like a snotty person.
I mean, we saw it throughout the show. His comments are kind of like,
they're not great.
It's like dry humor and sarcasm.
And then it turned into a whole other story. Claire says, I'm not playing into this. My friend is telling the truth. Okay, but you're the one that's lying. It's not your friend. It's you. Emily returns against her will, it seems, because she kind of like plops down and she says, everything's disgusting. I'll listen, but I'm done. Kevin says, if you don't want to be here, then don't be here. Emily says, I'm here. If I want to be here, I'm going to be here. And I'm like, God, you're a child.
It's too much.
Go home.
It's like, I don't want to be here, but I still want the attention.
Yeah, exactly. There's another montage of like things that didn't make the final cut. And again, got to stick to that script. They talk about being recognized. They forget that they're on TV and that they are being recognized. They wonder why people are looking at them. Austin got an article written about him about how he likes to have one night stands, which is so weird. How random.
We need to find that article.
Oh, I should look for it. Okay. Because that'd be a fascinating read. Do they have sources?
It would be just a really interesting opinion piece. Yeah, unless you have some sources, because I don't think he ever mentions that on the show.
No, and he was really like, I'm all about sex workers, but I'm not trying to get a lap dance. You know, like he didn't want really anything to do with the bachelor party. I don't know. One night stands in Austin don't really go together in my head. We ask Emily about getting recognized and kind of the social media aspect. And she says she didn't get anything until Brennan said that he wasn't attracted to me. Then my DMs blew up. Oh, okay, sure, sure. The final thoughts from everyone were essentially around the concept of learning and taking accountability and Claire rolling her eyes when Cam mentions this. But overall, everyone's learned something from this experience. They're going to take it with them in the future and they hope to live better as they move forward.
Likewise, as usual, we love love. I hope they all find love. I hope they find a loving relationship and can all grow and learn something from the experience. It is a bummer it didn't work out for essentially everyone, but I do hope they take the learnings from this process and really find out if they were ready for marriage, if they're not quite ready for marriage, and what they really value in a partner.
Yeah, at the end of the day, we always want these people to be happy and in love and find your person. And if that isn't on this show, that's fine. Move on. Be happy. Just wasn't it for Denver. So we are going to watch the next episode, the Where Are They Now, which is kind of frustrating because isn't that what we've been watching previous to the tell-all? Previous to Decision Day tell-all? So I don't know, but we'll watch that. But that's going to be the last thing we cover for this Denver cast, and then we are going to move on to Chicago happily ever after.
Two questions for you. One, is that the final episode for this season?
Oh, it's mine, but I don't know. I don't know if it's the final truly of this season.
Did you hear when the next season would air?
No, they haven't announced under wraps. No, they announced all the couples. They did not announce the date.
Gotcha. Okay.
Hopefully we get a little break in here. We'll see.
Thank you all so much for sticking with us this season. Again, we'll cover one more episode. We appreciate you and we'll talk to you all soon.
Take care. Talk to you soon.